Right, Claire, welcome to episode 52 of the John Covey podcast. Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you.
So, Claire Moore, I looked online to try and find a little bit of information about you first. I tried and do a little bit of research. But what I did find is obviously exactly what you're all about, what you represent, which is this place right here.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about it first.
This is the Believe and Achieve Ladies Gym, open November 2013. Called Believe and Achieve deliberately because I'm a big believer in we need to sort out your head first and then the rest is easier. So rather than focusing just on exercise and nutrition, we focus first and foremost on mindset.
Brilliant.
And we help ladies who've probably been through the diet cycle year after year after year start to get a much clearer understanding on what they need to do in order to get a lifestyle rather than another quick fix.
Sure.
So it's all about mindset, goal setting, positivity, believing in yourself. Amazing. A lot of the ladies that come to us, we tend to have ladies in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lady who was 73.
Incredible.
It was fabulous.
Incredible.
Yeah. But because they've been on so many diets, they feel like they've failed a lot.
Okay.
Because that's how diets are set up to be.
Sure.
They all work, but they only work as long as you can stick to them. And most of them are too rigid, too rigorous to do that.
It's so not you sustainable
feel
long-term.
Exactly. Yeah. So you feel like you've failed time and time again. So you've lost belief in yourself. And our philosophy is we believe in our clients until they believe in themselves.
That's
and it's very
so that
much.
Again, so we believe. We
we believe in you until you believe in yourself.
That's brilliant, that isn't it?
Yeah.
That's such a great motto.
Yeah. And we try and, you know, our aim is to get our ladies doing this out of love and respect for their bodies, not because they hate their tummy or their thighs or their, you know, they hate the clothes they've got to wear. Or it's about realizing that, do you know what, you might not like the size and shape of your body right now, but it's still the most amazing piece of machinery
That's
you'll
beautiful.
ever own.
Yeah.
So if you can do this journey through love and respect,
sure.
One, it's going to be happier and it's definitely going to be a lot more successful.
Brilliant. I remember what you just said reminds me of the Secret. So you've got Lisa Nichols in The Secret. And I remember one of the things that she said was, you've got to fall in love with yourself.
Yes.
And I think that what you've just said there touches on that perfectly.
Absolutely. And it's such a hard thing to do.
Of course it is.
But
especially with social media, as we've just been talking about a little bit earlier.
Totally. Everybody looks like they've got it sorted, that they've got the perfect body, the perfect lifestyle. And we compare ourselves time and time again, and we never seem to match up.
Of course.
Because we're not comparing ourselves to the real thing.
And they probably took that picture 1,500 times to get that,
right,
that right angle with the right
filtered.
Shadow. Filtered. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So what you said online was that, so you are the founder and the owner at the award-winning Believe and Achieve UK Ladies Gym.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, you've just said this really, but the kind of paragraph that I pulled out of the bio really, I think was just so brilliant in terms of how it was worded. It was saying that Sheffield's leading ladies-only healthy lifestyle studio where you focus on improving your mindset and confidence so the nutrition and exercise are easy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can go online and you can pick up a nutrition plan, an exercise plan for free, but you won't stick to it.
Sure.
Because what we've realised, people emotionally eat or binge eat because of the emotions.
Yep.
It's not because we haven't got willpower. It's not because we don't want it. It's because there is something going on deep down that's making us reach for those comfort foods.
Sure.
And unless you sort out what that thing is,
mm-hmm.
nothing will ever change. You'll constantly be in that battle. So the food isn't the issue.
Sure.
The exercise isn't the issue. Yeah. It's whatever's happening in your life that's making you reach for those things.
Sure.
So for me, boredom
right,
is a huge trigger. If I'm sat at home, you know, on my own with nothing going on, I know that's a huge trigger for me. So I can put a plan in place to sort that out. For other ladies, it might be.
So you're finding, just to pull that to pieces, you're finding love and connection.
Yeah.
Through the food because you're bored.
Yeah. It kind of makes me happy for that kind of few minutes.
Yeah.
And then the guilt kicks in.
And then it's
just that constant cycle.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, other ladies might find that finances are worrying them or relationships or work or there's always something going on.
So they're having it for variety because it's going to change them from how they're feeling. So it's giving them a new way to feel.
Yeah.
So they're worrying.
Yeah.
And by eating, takes the worry away and makes them feel satisfied. So the change of the physiology to make them feel better.
Yeah. It's called The Habit Loop. There's a brilliant book. I can't remember who the author is. And it basically talks about feelings come up. You'll have a natural habit that you go to. It might be a glass of wine. It might be chocolate. and then you get the reward from those feelings. Where people go wrong with diets is they try and cut out the habit. So they might say, I'm not drinking, I'm not eating bread, I'm not eating sugar. The trouble is those feelings are still there. So it's like you're trying to put a stopper in a hose pipe.
Got you. With the pressure's still going to be pulling.
So eventually that is going to, you know, it's just going to explode. And then because you've not been getting that reward, you eventually, you know, going to give in, you're going to go back to that old habit 10 times more. Sure. And then, you know, you're back to that feeling of failure. So rather than cut out the habit, you need to replace it.
Sure.
So if your go-to is a glass of wine when you're feeling stressed, maybe try a relaxing bubble bath or a walk or a chat to friends. You've got to put something in there that gives you a reward.
What's still
at the end.
Serve the feeling that you have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that was something I read, and I forget who it was by. It was talking about Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
And it was saying that what they found were, if they didn't replace the habit, there was something like 70% likely to go back to drink.
Yeah.
Whereas if they replaced it with a habit of something else, it was 7 years before it even showed its face again.
Wow. Yeah. Because we're trying to fight against emotions.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, you know, we've only got a limited amount of willpower. I say this to the ladies a lot. If I said to you, look, start running, they can understand that eventually the body will be tired and they can't run any further.
Sure.
It's the exact same with willpower. If I say you can't have that, you'll manage it for so long, but eventually you will literally run out of willpower and it comes back.
Yeah.
This is why so many people get to kind of 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and that's when they give in.
Sure.
Because they've used up all their willpower, you know, not shouting at the boss and not screaming at the kids and, you know, getting out of bed and going to the gym. So by the end of the day, you've used it all up. So you're kind of like, oh, sod it.
That's it.
I love the wine. Where's the chocolate?
Yeah, chocolate ice cream.
Yeah. So the easier we can make a plan where willpower's not needed, that's when you've got success.
So what would that look like then?
It's got to be small, enjoyable changes that become new habits and lead to a lifestyle. So we don't ban any food.
Yeah.
We do a calorie deficit.
Uh-huh.
And what you'll find is that most ladies are actually, their bodies need more calories than what you realise.
Sure.
So a lot of ladies will go on a diet, and I've met ladies and they're kind of, they're having 800, 900 calories a day.
Really?
So and then you wonder why you're struggling.
They're starving, in fact, then, are they?
Yeah, so they're starving.
Yeah.
And what actually happens is, so say you're going to go on a diet, and you suddenly, you cut out all the nice food, and you suddenly start exercising. Your body's main job is survival, and your body will need a certain amount, it's called your basal metabolic rate, so you need a certain amount of calories just for everything to function.
Just to live.
Just to live, even if you just to sit there, breathe, blink, you need a certain amount of calories.
I think it's about 1,700 for women, isn't it?
It's quite a lot, right. It depends on your age and your height and your weight, but we work that out for each of our clients, so you suddenly cut that down drastically, and you start putting exercise in. Yeah. So the body kind of panics a bit. And well, how am I going to have enough energy to keep everything working? Yeah. So that's when the metabolism slows right down. So you might see some results for the first 6 weeks because...
So the metabolism slows down to survive.
Yeah.
Right, okay, okay.
So then you'll get to kind of 6 weeks and you'll probably stop seeing any more results. So you get a bit more frustrated. So what do you do? You cut out more calories or you start exercising more.
Right.
So the body panics again and thinks, oh, crap. So it slows down the fat loss even more. And then you'll get to a point where you stop seeing any results. So you go back to your old ways.
Right.
So you start eating what you were eating those few weeks ago, but your metabolism is still way down. And that's why you put on more weight after a diet than what you were before.
So
now, you can build the metabolism back up.
Sure.
But it takes time.
Sure. So what would you do to build the metabolism back up then?
Weight training is brilliant.
Okay.
And just fueling the body properly. Sure. Wholesome food.
I think there's a big fear for women with weight training. They think that they're going to end up like sausage women, don't they? As they call
that
it.
That is so hard to do that.
Yeah.
So hard to build up the muscle.
Totally.
We've not got the right hormones. So to get the muscle, you would need to be on a unbelievably strict diet of literally white fish, turkey and broccoli. And you'd need to be training every single day.
Sure, sure. And not just lifting weights, moving weights.
Yeah.
Really moving weights,
We don't do muscly women here. We do toned.
Yes.
Toned and healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And our ladies only train twice a week.
And I think that's a really valid point to get people to understand, isn't it? There's a big difference between looking good and being fit, isn't there? And healthy, genuine, real health.
Yes. I get my biggest kick out of this job when somebody comes and says, do you know what, I slept all last night. or I was able to climb the stairs without stopping.
It's because they were tired. Yeah. You beasted them.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. When they come and they're suddenly, they've gone and got a new haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're feeling good. Yeah, yeah, that is much more, to me, the weight loss is just a bonus.
Sure.
It's about, you know, suddenly saying, my knees aren't hurting anymore. Mm. Or I was able to go swimming with my kids or my grandkids.
I can walk upstairs without getting out of breath.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wake up in the morning and I feel great.
Sure.
That's what we're all about. Health and happiness is what we focus on. And it's just great to see the change in the ladies. They start standing up a little bit taller.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of confidence to be gained from being able to lift a weight that you couldn't move a few weeks ago.
Yeah, totally. It builds you as a person. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Not just build you as well, but build you mentally. Yeah,
absolutely. So, and then,
go on.
The community of the ladies is massive here.
Yeah.
Just being surrounded by other women who were on the same journey, you
makes
suddenly realise,
it's
that you belong to something. You're kind of like, do you know what? She's just like me and she's achieved this. So if she can do it, I can do it. And they're really great at building each other up, and it's fab.
Brilliant. So where do you think the limiting beliefs come from originally? Like what draws them to these things originally?
Oh, probably social media is a massive part of it, because you see the stars and everybody else being able to like drop a stone in a week, and you go, oh, why can't I do that?
Sure.
Trying diets over and over again. And the trouble is, there is just so much information out there at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, one day you should do this. No, you should do this.
You should do
Sharon in the Counts is doing
Atkins,
that. You should do it.
Yeah.
And you just, there's no consistency. So you might try something for a week and think, well, that's not working. Well, I'll try that. Well, that's not working.
Yeah.
So you've literally got failure after failure after failure.
Sure.
And I think we have too high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the ladies, you know, yes, the social media, but there's also looking back to yourself. You know, I'm 45, I'm not going to have the body of a 20-year-old again.
Right.
And I've made peace with that.
Sure.
And other ladies need to make peace with that as well, and
of
be
course.
Kind of, okay, do you know what? I've been around a few years. We had a couple of children.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I am a bit more curvy, but I'm healthy
and
happy.
Yeah. Healthy and happy. I love that. That's exactly what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, your body goes through an awful lot. If you think back to all the nights out and the late nights, everything it's been through,
of course.
It still keeps going.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But it's had a bit of wear and tear.
Yeah.
So it actually needs a bit of TLC, not more beasting and judgment.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it, that people's got to come to realise. And I don't know whether that's comes at a certain age or whether it's a certain moment in life that happens, but I think that there comes a time when we realise that we're not bulletproof.
Yeah.
Do you know, and we're not going to live forever. And I don't know when that comes. I don't think it's hit me just yet, that. But I think I still probably do things that I maybe should be a little bit more sensible with, maybe don't drink quite as much or whatever it may be. But I think that there must be something, isn't there, that happens that triggers that and thinks, oh, actually, do you know what? I do want to live into my 80s or 90s or maybe even 100, because that's where we're heading, aren't we?
Yeah. That's when I know that I've got a good client, when they come and say, do you know what, I just want to feel healthy.
Mm.
I want to be able to, you know, they might see that their parents are suffering from certain ailments and think, oh, I don't want to get to 60, 70 and I have the same things to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you've got somebody's really ready.
Of course.
Because they're not obsessing about the tummy anymore or their hips, but they're just like,
I want to
look after myself and be able to do everything I want to do.
Sure.
So it's, I think there's a lot more education now and a lot more information about health.
But it's overwhelming though at the same time, isn't it? I think that's certainly the same for my industry. The thing that I see is that there's no shortage of information, but everyone's starving for knowledge.
Yeah.
Do you know, we're swimming in information. Well, it's too much.
Yeah.
And we just don't know which way to turn. Do we, like, I mean, using your game, do we do keto? Do we do Atkinson's is a thing of the past. Do we start fasting? Fasting's everywhere at the minute, isn't it? Do we, you know, we do juices, or do you know, do we blend stuff, or do you know, like, there is so much information. It's like,
there is, and we encourage our ladies to do intuitive eating,
mm-hmm.
Because one size doesn't fit all.
Sure.
You can't say everybody should do this and this is the best way. It's about listening to your body, and it will let you know what works for it.
Uh-huh.
So we have three key questions. So we encourage people, when they're eating, think about, are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
And do you feel good afterwards?
Got you.
Your body will let you know.
Yeah,
so a lot of the time you might eat something and feel bloated or get a headache or tired, even itchy skin or a mucousy cough. That's your body saying,
it's not good for you, this.
That's not good for me.
Yeah.
And for you, it might be pasta. For me, it might be dairy. For somebody else, it might be wheat.
Yeah.
That's why we can't do a plan for everybody. Sure. You've got to learn to listen.
It's got to be individual.
Yeah.
Yeah, to that person.
And we're very good at kind of, oh, it's just been a long day.
Sure.
Oh, I'm just tired.
Yeah, I'll just reach for this because it's quick and easy. Yeah.
But the more, if you can answer yes to all three of those questions,
then do it.
80% of the time, you found your perfect meal plan.
Yeah, that's good. Someone said to me once that if after a meal you feel bloated, it's because you're allergic to something in the food. So your body's...
Your body's struggling to digest it. Yeah.
Whereas if you feel tired after you've eaten, then you've got an intolerance to something, so your body's working harder to try and digest it, so it tires you out.
Makes sense.
And I think it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, like that?
But we don't listen.
We don't listen to our body, do we? No.
We like it, it tastes good, so we'll have that.
We'll go through that indigestion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's worth it for that lolly or ice cream or whatever it may be. Yeah.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? But yeah, the more we listen,
yeah,
the better the plan and the better the success, definitely. Brilliant.
So just coming off this then, I looked on, when I was looking online, you said that there's three priorities that you work around.
Yeah.
On there. So the first one's tackling the negative voice in your head.
Yeah.
So what do you do there then? I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but like, what kind of things do you do to help them? Is that a workshop first or?
Yeah, so we're sat in our classroom.
Yep.
So the gym's out there, and this is our little workshop room.
Yeah.
So everybody starts, we've got Healthy Lifestyle Club. So they're invited to come in, and we have a little workshop, again, in a group setting, so that chances are you'll ask a question, but it helps everybody else.
Of course.
And it's good to know that others are thinking the same.
Yeah.
That's where we sort out the calories, but then we also do a lot of work on mindset.
On mindset.
And we really have to stress to people, it's about small changes.
Yeah.
So do you know what? If your diet is really shocking, if you could just drink more water next week...
You'll feel different.
Yeah. Once that's in place, then we might do water and breakfast.
Yeah.
Once
yeah.
that's in place, then we might... So it's about building up gradually.
Sure.
So these habits become part of life
yeah.
rather than trying to change everything and struggling with it and falling off the wagon week later. So, and with every habit that you put in place, your confidence improves.
Of course.
Well, I've done that.
Yeah.
So if I can do that, I can do the next
thing.
Next thing
yeah.
So it's all about just taking those little steps
Brilliant.
Forward. We've got a board in the gym that has long-term goals and short-term goals, so it's accountability, it's ownership of it. When it's written down, it's yours.
Of course.
You've got to keep a check on that every 4 weeks.
Because
it's proven that 4 weeks is the best time for goal setting.
Uh-huh.
It's long enough to see some changes,
sure.
But not too long that you feel overwhelmed. Sure. So every 4 weeks, we get a new
set of goals.
Yeah, for people to work on. And every time we cross it off the list, it's, I did it.
I did that. I feel good that I did that. Yeah. That's good.
And then obviously there's the community of ladies cheering you on when you've done it.
Brilliant.
So it's all just little steps.
So you feel part of a family, don't you, as well?
That's what somebody said. They've called it, this is my gym family.
My gym family.
And I'm like, oh, I'm nicking that.
Or if we're going to use the modern social media term, it's called a tribe, isn't it, I believe now.
That sounds a bit scary for me.
It's part of my tribe.
Yeah. We'll stick to family.
Family sounds better.
Family's good for
us. I
don't
like that.
Yeah.
So you're working on the negative voices in the head. What kind of voices do people? What are the things that's most common? Would you say what you hear?
It's that I can't do it,
right.
Or they're looking in the mirror, and all the people see is what they don't like.
Okay.
Oh, I hate my arms. I hate my bum. I hate my this. I hate. So it's that constant. Telling yourself that you don't like what you see.
Right.
So we try and get ladies to think, well, what do you like? Well, actually, I've got a nice smile. Right. That's what we need to focus on. And then gradually kind of you build that up. But what we also do, we invite local experts in.
Okay.
And we do monthly workshops. Mm-hmm. So this month we've got a physiotherapist come in. We've had a personal stylist, some nutritionists, we've had a hypnotherapist.
Oh, right, okay.
So that was good at kind of showing people different techniques to work on mindset.
Sure.
And just, it's difficult because if we've spent 10, 20, 30 years in a negative mindset,
it's hard to change.
It's very hard to change. So it's got to be, if you wanted to change your body shape, you know that you would have to go into that gym and do something regularly, consistently, over and over again.
Yeah.
It's the same with the mindset. You can't go to one workshop and think, nailed
this
it.
This is going to change everything.
You know, you've got to start saying, well, I'm proud of myself because of, and you do that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So you start to just switch those thoughts to something positive rather than
the same
always
story
a negative.
And the old pattern that they've been repeating themselves. Yeah.
And we've got like a private Facebook group, and we encourage people to put in, what are you proud of today? Oh, well, actually, do you know what? I did a full press up. First ever full press. And
that's brilliant.
That's great. So it's just giving people a safe space. I mean, we're British, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're not very good at like
stiff
saying
upper lip,
saying what we like about ourselves.
No, at all.
So we give people a safe space to kind of celebrate. What are you good at? What are you proud of? And yeah. It's like, oh, I used to doing this actually.
This feels quite
nice. Yeah, yeah. And again, it's about consistency and
the consistency
habit.
Is key, isn't it? It's like you said,
definitely
it's creating that new habit.
Yeah,
it is creating that habit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's everything, isn't it? Though habit is habits control us.
Yeah.
Like I think it's something like 95% of the time we operate on habits that are formed in our subconscious, which mm-hmm. are our paradigms, effectively.
Yeah.
And we try to then think on a conscious level and try and change a pattern that's controlled through a subconscious system. It's like,
and the trouble is, if those habits are bad, we try and jump from there to there.
Yeah.
And then wonder why we can't stick at it because it's just too extreme, and it's about just getting those small
steps at a time. Totally.
Yeah.
So then the next thing then is, you said, like sacking off the diet. Mm-hmm. So this is what we touched on a little bit here about like learning to understand your body more and what you want and what you, do you know, what you.
As soon as you ban something, you want it.
Of course. Why is that, do you think?
Because we're naughty. No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But as soon as you say, well, I'm not having any alcohol or sugar,
then all you can think about is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I remember as a child. As a child, actually. But I remember going to my nan's, and she had one of them pull cords in the toilet. No, the orange pull cords.
Oh yeah.
That she like assisted living.
Yeah.
And I always remember them saying Jonathan, full name as well.
Oh,
Jonathan, do not pull that cord. What, this one? I've been told not to do it, so I want to do it.
It's human nature, isn't it?
Exactly.
As soon as you can't have it, you want it. Yeah. So, and quite often, if you're given the choice. So we educate our ladies a lot on what happens to your body when you eat certain things. So say like artificial sweetener or alcohol.
Yes.
Your liver's your main fat burning organ.
Right.
But it's got hundreds of jobs to do every day. But one of its main priorities is removing toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked earlier, haven't we, about survival.
Yeah.
And that's the number one priority.
Sure.
If you have alcohol or if you have any artificial sweetener, your liver will detect that as a poison or a toxin.
So
it stops burning fat until it's removed all of that toxin out of your system.
Right.
So when the ladies understand that and they've got the choice between having a Diet Coke or an orange juice, and it's their choice, they're going to start to think, well, actually, if I have that, I'm going to have the orange juice.
And
the power in that responsibility is huge because it's their choice. We don't tell people to do anything.
No.
There's no should or shouldn't here.
Them.
It's, well, if you do that, that'll happen. If you do that, that'll happen. What are you going to do?
Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Red pill or blue pill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But quite often when you've got a choice, you go for the healthy option because, actually, do you know what? I just fancy that salad.
You're informed now, aren't you? Yeah. You're consciously aware of it, aren't you? So.
Yeah. And we talk about food from, rather than good and bad, some food will fuel you, some will drain you.
Right.
How do you want to feel?
Yes.
So with the 80-20 rule that we have with regards to those questions, the 20% is for the food that are the treats.
Sure.
So if it means that you can stick to your plan easier by knowing you're going to have a couple of glasses of wine on a Friday, brilliant.
I think that's fine.
There's no harm.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's,
I suppose the other thing as well, I suppose remember that we're not trying to be athletes either, are we?
No.
You know, so...
We're not entering any bodybuilding competitions.
No.
Or...
So if you want to drink, have a drink.
Yeah.
But just be sensible with it. Don't drink all day, every day, or don't eat that junk food all day, every day. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's important to enjoy your life, isn't it?
Definitely.
Like, I get it's different if you are an athlete, if you are a bodybuilder, or you compete. Then there's so many different kind of disciplines that you need to put into play. But we're talking about health, aren't we, though?
Yeah.
We're talking about like general feeling good and health, not competition.
There's no point being like super skinny and having to sit in every Saturday night. Because
you
can't go out and have any fun. There's no point in that. It's about getting results, feeling healthy, and enjoying life at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's why we kind of go for that 80%. So most people, they're either totally off it, and okay, you get to eat all the naughty food, but you feel miserable because you're bloated, you're tired.
Yeah.
So then you jump to the 100% on it.
Yeah.
And okay, you might feel good because you're losing weight or whatever, but you feel miserable because you're missing out on everything and you're hungry and you've got the cravings. So then you just start jump between the...
One to the other.
But if you find that kind of balance in the middle...
Sure. So why do you think that when we start to see the result then, so we start eating cleaner, we start training more regular, we start to feel better, we look better, clothes fit ourselves better, And then we still go back to how it was previously. Why do you think we do that?
Emotions.
Yeah.
Something will happen that will make you think, sod it,
right,
I'm having that wine.
Yeah.
And then you just have that one and then it can snowball.
Right. See, yeah.
Yeah. You've also got to watch out for energy vampires.
Energy vampires. Tell me more.
That's the people, you know, family, friends, work colleagues, who will see that you're suddenly changing and think, oh, hang on, if she can do it, I can do it. I'm not doing it. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Right, go on, just have a glass of wine. You've worked hard. Just have one. And they tempt you back into their kind of way of things so that they feel better. It's like that, life's a rowing boat, but there's not just you in your rowing boat. There's lots of other people. If you stand up and say, right, I'm doing things differently, I'm going to get into that rowing boat, it starts to rock.
Right.
Some people will be like, yeah, brilliant, I'm helping you. Others will be like, sit down. Don't like this.
Yeah.
And they'll try and tempt you out of it.
Got you.
So you've, those people say, oh, you're looking too thin now.
They do.
Yeah. Just to try and kind of make you feel a bit bad. But it's always on them.
Of course, yeah.
So watch out for them.
Isn't it? Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the same in everything. You'll have probably gone through this with business, is people are like, oh, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And you're working all these hours. It can't be worth it. Or
nobody will buy that.
Nobody will buy that, yeah.
Like, what are you charging, really? Yeah.
Who's going to pay that?
Yeah.
But it's because they're trying to protect you at the same time as they're not trying to necessarily shoot you down.
Yeah.
Let's touch on to this. Well, in fact, actually, we'll come back to that one. So the third thing that you put down then after the second half of the diet was ladies only weight training.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that.
No machines, just free weight and body weight. Really? So it's the beauty of weight training is there's always progression. If you go and do a kind of cardio class, your body can get used to it and it adapts.
Right.
So once you've done that for a while, unless you change it up somehow, you're not going to see any of the changes.
Right.
We track all our clients and their workouts, so we know exactly what weights they need and how many reps they need to do, and then we constantly push it.
Sure.
So what happens is when you know that feeling, say if you've done some shoulder press and your shoulders are hurting.
I love that feeling.
It's a great feeling. Yeah. That's because we've torn muscle fibres deliberately.
Yeah.
And then you need a day or so to rest so it mends. But again, the body's super clever and thinks, I'm not going to let that happen again, so I'll mend bigger.
Yes.
So then what you need to do is heavier weights.
Yeah.
And then you get into that cycle, and that's how you get the tone and the muscle.
Brilliant. And I use that exact same explanation to describe stress. Because I think that stress is thrown around very, too loosely, and people don't fully understand it. We need stress in our lives.
Yeah.
And you think about using that same thing as a muscle there. What do you do with the muscle? You put that much stress on it that the muscle tears, the fibres tear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but the important thing is not the stress, it's the recovery time.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's nothing wrong with stress. That's not the enemy. It's the recovery time that is.
Very true.
And I think that it's so true for people. It's thrown around so loosely, isn't it? I'm stressed. You're just bad at managing time.
Yeah.
Why are you stressed? Well, I'm not going to get that work done. Okay, and what's going to happen? Well, I'll look bad. Okay, and what's going to happen if you look bad?
Mm.
Well, I might lose face in work. And what happens if you lose face in... It just takes them to the deepest fear every single time, I find.
Panic mode, isn't it?
Yeah, panic and stuff. Yeah. So that's fascinating, Claire. So we've talked about mindset quite a lot. Let's talk about your mindset. You know, you've been in business now for... So this place has been here 5 years, you say. You've been doing the business as
about
a whole...
About six.
About 6 years in total. Like, your background prior to this, I did a little bit of looking into it, and I couldn't find anything further than you as a project manager for technology... in learning and teaching for schools.
Mm.
So you did this for three in Manchester?
Yeah. Well, yes. I was a primary school teacher.
Right.
For 12 years.
Right.
Never really loved it.
Okay. For 12 years though, you stuck it out for 12 years.
Do you know what? Good holidays, decent pay. And I had an English degree, and it was kind of like, what else do you do? And it was good.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. But ended up in Manchester. That was, I was a civil servant.
Right.
And that was the training development agency for trainee teachers.
Okay.
So it was a project manager. Travelled to Manchester for a while. While I was travelling to Manchester, obviously early starts, late finishes.
So you didn't actually live in Manchester?
No. I travelled from Sheffield. Gained about 2 dress sizes, a couple of stones, just because it was Kit Kat for breakfast, then you go out for lunch, got home, microwave meal, obviously no time for the gym. I told myself I had no time for the gym. Yeah, and all of a sudden I'm kind of like, oh right, clothes aren't fitting anymore. I either need to buy bigger clothes or I need to do something about it. So it was January 2010, it was when that HIIT training was becoming all the rage. So I joined a local place that did the HIIT classes 3 times a week.
Sure. Just for everyone that's listening, it was maybe not
heard of it.
It's a high impact,
high intensity interval training, short sharp, like circuit training, short sharp bursts, variety of different exercises, three times a week. Did calorie counting.
Right.
By mid February, I was back to my original kind of weight and size.
Yeah, so that was over what?
Six weeks. Thinking, oh, that's quite. Pleased with that. That's good. And I sort of, I made good friends with the people who owned the gym. Then we went into, they were doing clean eating, so I tried a bit of clean eating. Before I knew it, I was kind of, I dropped another dress size, and I'm like feeling really good, and got quite fascinated by how my mindset changed, my body changed, just by what I was eating, what I was doing. So I ended up doing the gym instructor course just as a hobby, just so I could learn a bit more. Did that, a few friends we're also doing the PT course. I thought, oh, well, I'll do that as well. You had to do 3 case studies as the PT course to kind of prove it. And I loved it. I was like, oh, quite enjoy this. Then as that sort of happens, they were shutting quite a few of the civil service departments down, including mine.
Right.
So I ended up back at Sheffield doing teaching, but I decided to just do a part-time job for 3 days and then did PT for the rest.
Really?
So, and then I got to that point where my teaching job was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday night, just fed up, not wanting to do it. But then skipping out of school on a Wednesday, thinking, oh, I've got 4 days to do PT. Right. And I'm like, right, this is, I read the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Oh, right, yes.
And that made me hand my notice in.
Really?
Oh, wow. My mother was distraught. She really, how could you give up such a stable, secure,
promising, secure
career? And I was like, because I'm miserable.
Yes. Wow.
So it just, it was scary, but I just did it. So I spent a year working in the gym where I already was, training people. But it was a mixed gym and it was a bit untidy and things weren't, you know, it just wasn't private.
Right.
I thought, do you know what? I need my own space. Your own space. I want to just work with ladies. And I wanted to work with ladies that, you know, were a long way down the line and needed a lot of support. Well, they don't want to train in the middle of a busy gym. And I found this place totally by luck.
Really?
I was just driving through and saw the sign. I was like, oh. And then,
great. Yeah, amazing.
Got it in the June, opened in the November.
And away you go.
And that was it.
6 years later, six years later, away you go. So how did you prepare yourself then to start? Did you get some savings behind you? Did you borrow the money? Did you seek support and help? Or like, what did you do to...
I had some savings. At the time, I did have... somebody invested.
Right.
They're no longer with us, but that was helpful at the time for a little bit of funds and support business wise. And it was a bit of just suck it and see.
Sure.
You know, nobody prepares you for it.
Of course.
I think sometimes if I'd realised it was as hard as what it was going to be, would I have still done it? I'm not entirely sure.
Sure.
Because there was some times, days,
very
weeks.
Very challenging. Yeah.
Very challenging.
Sure.
But you just get on with it.
Yeah.
Your YouTube things, you see how you know, you follow people,
you
see,
it out.
You figure it out. Yeah. And the stuff that I've learned over the last 5 years is huge.
Brilliant.
And I'm still learning. I don't think you ever get to the end and think, oh yeah, nailed it.
Yeah.
But I love the variety. I love the challenge.
What's been one of the kind of biggest losses or the biggest challenges?
So we got to about October 17. So we'd opened November 13, so we're 4 years in. And I suddenly thought, this isn't quite the gym that I planned it to be.
Right.
We had just become a gym.
Sure.
Whereas I'd set out to be mindset first,
sure.
Really helping ladies to sort their heads out. But because when you need to pay the bills, you just take clients.
Of course.
You know, and I just realised that we've just really become a training gym.
Right.
I thought I need to change this. So this, where we're sat now, used to be 2 rooms. Knocked the wall out, created the classroom, created Healthy Lifestyle Club, flipped it all around. So it was mindset, nutrition, then exercise. Launched it and said, this is, you know, put the prices up a little bit. I think it was £15 a month, so not massive.
Yeah.
At the time, we had about 36 clients. By February, we dropped to 14. People didn't want it who were already here.
Really?
They just wanted to pay for a gym membership.
Right.
Nearly wobbled.
Yeah.
Nearly gave in. I thought, no, that is not what I... That's not my vision.
Sure.
That's not what I've set out to create. And in all honesty, if it hadn't been for Funding Circle
yeah.
and a very helpful bank manager,
right,
would have been done.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I knew what I was doing was right.
Sure.
So I just stuck at it, and it was that November we won Best Ladies Gym in the UK.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible.
It was just proof that what I'd done was absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we've got a gym where, you know, the ladies do want to sort their heads out. They are interested in learning. They do want to feel more positive. It's not just about exercise. So it's,
that's incredible, isn't it? I think the real valuable lesson there is to ask for help. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to blame all the lack of resources rather than being more resourceful ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I kind of, now it's, do you know what, if I can get through that,
get through anything.
I can get through anything.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really
so
good.
It was the,
so what's been one of the biggest wins then?
Well, obviously, winning the National Fitness Award. That was, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic night. Just loved it.
Yeah.
Just to get that recognition was huge for my confidence and self-belief.
Sure.
Because, you know, you spend so much time helping others believe in themselves.
You forget about you sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And I'm quite, I am an introvert. I do struggle to kind of put us out there a bit, look at it, we're the best. But actually having that award, you can't, well, yeah, we are actually.
We are the best, yeah. I've got this seal of approval.
Yeah. From that, I won a Woman of Sheffield award with the Sheffield Star. We got shortlisted in the small awards.
Really?
And that's like all businesses. We were the only gym that was there.
Really?
So that was in customer service category.
Brilliant.
One day I just went to the House of Lords.
Oh, really?
To the summer business. So it all started to kind of really take off from there. We're getting recognised now. We're
Brilliant.
Being noticed.
Brilliant.
And it's, yeah.
Is there ever a threat from competition? Do they feel threatened by you? Do you feel threatened by them?
Nah.
No?
We're too different.
Sure.
Nobody does
sure.
what we do.
No.
And yeah, they might try to copy, but they'll always be chasing.
Yeah.
Because I'm always changing.
Yeah.
I love learning, and I'm always putting new stuff in. And
Brilliant.
It's good to keep an eye on the competition. Mm. But
only an eye.
Just an eye on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's room for everybody. And the brilliant thing about the fitness industry is there's so many different things that you can do.
Of course.
There's so many different clients that there's something for everyone. We're not right for every person who's out there, but the people we are right for
will come to you.
Will come to us, and it works well.
Totally does. I remember reading an article about Australia. So Australia is the most saturated market in the world for fitness.
Right.
And there was a company started called F45.
Oh yeah, know them.
And it's a franchise, and it was the quickest growing franchise in Australia in the most saturated market.
Yeah.
So no matter how saturated the market is, there's always room.
Yeah, they're over here now.
Yeah, are they in the UK now? Are they? Right, okay, yeah.
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 And I think that's something that people will always try to make an excuse. Well, do you know, there's a lot of people doing what I do. There's a lot of people doing this kind of stuff, and it's a limiting belief that it can really hold you back.
You just have to do it better.
Good. You've answered the question there. Like, what limiting beliefs have held you back in the business, would you say?
One that I had to work on a lot was I really struggled to figure out how can I earn money from doing something I love. Because I'd done teaching and it was such long hours that it was a tough job.
Sure.
I worked in quite deprived areas, so there was a lot of stress that came with that.
Yep.
But I earned a really good salary.
Sure.
So I could put those two together. Now I'm like, well, hang on a minute, I can get up anytime I want, and I can plan my day how I want, and I actually love what I'm doing. How could I possibly earn money from doing this? So that was quite challenging. And you suddenly realise, well, the work that I'm doing is changing people's lives.
Brilliant.
And actually, you know, it may be great now, but there was a lot of years
of learning
in the build-up to this. Even in the time management, organisation, patience, you know, customer service from teaching
plays into this totally. And I think patience needs to be something that is hit home hard on a lot of people as well, because no one's got any patience no more. Everyone's expecting everything.
I want it now.
Yeah, exactly. there's no appreciation for it.
Yeah,
we just expect it, like the internet.
Next day delivery.
It's not working.
Everywhere.
Yeah, Amazon. Where is it now? I want it now. Like we're living so fast, aren't we?
And
we live in a world of instant gratification, so it's hard, I suppose, in your industry when they're not seeing them abs. I know that's slightly different, but like I'm not seeing them results quick enough.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, you've been doing it a day.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's a crazy world
right now. It's a world that's going so fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, I see that in different companies that I go into where you'll see certain members of the staff that's feeling, you know, disheartened because they're not making a big enough impact in that company.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been there for 6 months.
Yeah.
It's like not making a big enough, like you think back to probably like your career previously in the school world, you're 12 years in there to get to probably some role that give you a little bit of authority.
Yeah.
But that was 12 years.
Yeah. You've got to
time served.
Earn your place.
Earn your stripes.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. You do.
And I think business is a lot like that as well, I find. I don't know if you found that, is that you have to earn your stripes.
Mm. Like, and I think the fitness industry is tough because there's so many confident people.
Got you.
In it.
Right.
And that's not me. Right. In the sense, you know, they'll be out there, oh, we're the best, we're this, we're that. And I'm like, oh, right. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's, you feel intimidated.
Of course.
Or you can let yourself feel intimidated.
Yeah, sure.
One of the biggest learning curves I had was realising you don't have to be the loudest person in the room to be the most successful.
Of course.
And once I made peace with that,
yeah.
I'm like, do you know what? I'm not. Networking, hate it.
Right.
All that kind of small talk.
Sure.
And I used to wish I was the person who could just go in and hi.
Yeah.
And once I realised that, do you know what? I'm the person who kind of stands back and just observes and has great one-to-one chats.
Sure.
And I'm all right with that now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm just looking. We were just talking about that then. I just looked around on the board there. You've got feelings, habit, reward.
That's that habit loop.
Yeah. And I think that's just tying into everything that we were just saying then. So you can let somebody else change the way you feel that then creates that kind of new habit that you go into.
Yeah.
And ultimately gives you the result, which is the reward, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's all comes down to emotions. And we're emotional beings.
Of course.
And I just love that. I think it's from Buddha where, you know, he talks about emotions are the elephant. Logic is the person trying to ride the elephant. And, you know, as long as that elephant's going where it wants to go, everything's fine. But as soon as it tries to go off, there's nothing you can do in that moment to stop it.
Sure.
And we need to be okay with that with feelings.
Right,
so do you know what? Somebody might cut you up and there's nothing. The feelings come before you even have a chance to think about it and say, calm down. And so actually just let them be and then deal with it afterwards. We try and keep everything under wraps,
of course,
and be in control and
anger, like isn't that. It like you really get really mad about something and it's like, well, if you just stop for the moment and think about why you're getting mad,
yeah,
you know, like what is it really that's made you feel mad? It's not the situation, it's probably because you feel like you're missing out on something.
You
know, if you analyse, it's like, oh, actually it's not that bad, is it?
Like,
why have I let it bother me so much?
And it's good to realise that for other people as well. So if you're I don't know, if you're driving and maybe you accidentally cut somebody up and they kind of go crazy,
you can
get angry, but actually, do you know what? They're obviously just in a bad mood.
Of course.
Something's happened to them. Mm. That's for them to sort, you know, sorry, didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just being able to kind of leave people to their feelings and not think, oh, what have I done? What, you know.
Do you get road rage?
Well, again, it depends what mood I'm in. 9 times out of 10, no, I'm kind of But if I'm in a bad mood and something, then, that person gets it. But it's got nothing to do with that situation.
No.
It's to do with the fact that somebody's just done something.
Of course. It's interesting. I mean, like, I do use the driving scenario quite often when I'm explaining situations to people. And it's like, you know, any given day, you've probably got something like 4,000 cars that drive past you. And you let one person ruin your mood.
Yeah.
So there's 3,999 cars that's just driven past you and you're letting one of them people change your entire mood.
Yeah.
And when you look at it like that, it's like, well, that's just crazy, isn't it?
It's
like,
bonkers.
Right. But then I think the problem is that they all come out to play then, don't they?
Yeah.
Because you've got yourself in that vibration now where you're looking for everybody there.
Everything upsets you.
Yeah. Brilliant. What's been some good advice that you've had over these last, 6 years?
Systems.
Right.
You've got to get your systems in place. I do now. I didn't, you know, for a while. You keep your finances organised.
I
think it's easy to sort of to miss all that. But the more systems you've got in place, it's not, you know, not sexy, is it? But it's like the vegetables of life.
Yeah.
You've got to have that to keep things going.
That's 5 a day.
Yeah, at least. But you've got to have, you know, the systems in place so that there is less stress and everything runs smoothly. Not every client's for you, and that's absolutely fine.
Brilliant.
Don't try and please everybody.
Yeah.
And I think the best bit of advice, and it still sticks in my head now, was as simple as your house, your rules.
Oh, yes.
And I struggled with that for a while because it was almost as if I'd left employed work, and while you're obviously employed, you're trying to keep the boss happy.
Yep.
And then I thought, well, I'll be my own boss, and it'll just be, well, no, because then I found I was just trying to keep all the customers happy, and I'm like, actually, who's in charge here?
Who's in charge? Yeah, yeah. Who's
So yeah, but, so when you realise, right, my house, my rules, that this is my little place, and it's going to run like this. It's going to run like this for everybody.
Sure.
So no, I can't let you kind of get away with that. And no, you need to pay the same price. And it's
It's your game, your rules, your ball, your court.
You know, I'm the one that, you know, use all my savings to set it up and do all the work. And so it's
a hard thing for people to come by, isn't it? I remember the very first time I fired one of my clients was so liberating. It was incredible. And I think that there's a lot of information that's being sold to us wrongly, isn't it, over the years? Like, and I think one of them is that the customer's always right. They're not always right, are they?
No, especially
when you're in a position to educate them, when you're the one that's training them, like what you do. Like, they're not always right at all, are they?
No, definitely not. And it, you know, we're at the point now where if somebody comes to us for consultation, I can say no.
Yeah.
Because if they're not in that right space, if they're wanting extremes and diets and you know, expecting too much too soon, it's not healthy for either of us for that relationship to go ahead. So it took a long time to realise that.
What were the kind of pivotal moment? What made you realise that, do you think? Do you remember?
I think probably when I'm sat at home literally crying because I haven't got enough money to pay the bills, but I'm keeping everybody else happy. It's kind of like, hang on a minute, this was not the plan. And you suddenly, you have to put yourself up to the top and think, right, what will work for me here? And just be okay with the fact, well, if the worst that can happen is they leave, all right, they leave.
That's it.
And we'll find somebody else.
We'll just replace you.
Brilliant.
So, if you could go back now then to a 20-year-old version of yourself, what advice would you give yourself?
It's definitely, you know, that the age-old, don't worry what people think. It's a hard one, and it's still there. And I think actually it is only something that comes with age, when you're able to sort of think, do you know what? Everybody's so wrapped up in their own stuff that actually not many people are paying much attention to you anyway.
If I could
have realised that earlier, that would have been great.
Excuse me.
Yeah. And then, like what I said earlier about just making peace with the fact that I am an introvert and I do feel more comfortable sat in my office behind a computer rather than network, and that's okay.
How did you make peace with that? Is there a certain thing that you did? Is there a technique or...?
I think it was a mixture of getting in my 40s, because I think you just start to feel a bit happier then. Going on quite a lot of networking things and kind of feeling so horribly uncomfortable and realising that's not for me. And then winning the award was just, do you know what? You're all right at this. You are doing something right, so just keep doing it your way rather than trying to change to please other people.
Brilliant.
Because we all need validation, don't we? We all need a little bit of a pat on the back to say you're doing all right.
Especially in business, because it's quite lonely.
It's very lonely, yeah. Because running it is just me.
Yeah.
I live on my own, so I can, if I'm not careful, I can work 24/7.
Yeah. And nobody stops me. You can be your worst enemy as well, as well as your best friend.
Yeah. And when you've got all that thinking time, you know what the head's like. It just goes to all the negative, and this won't work, and that won't work.
It's trying to keep you safe, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's looking for problems to solve. And if you can't find them, it'll make them up.
Yeah. I'm good at that. Yeah. I'm really good at that.
Brilliant. So what's next then for Believe and Achieve now then? What's next? Because like this, like you say, you've got the award, things are going well, you've got it's working to the way that you want it. What's next?
Franchise. Yeah. We have started the process.
Amazing.
So we'll be looking for a pilot.
Right.
Pilot gym by the end of this year.
Brilliant.
We'll see how that goes. I think it'll go well.
Yeah.
Hopefully kind of in the Sheffield area, so they're close by. And then once that's in place, we've got a bit of a plan to grow, to just keep growing it throughout the UK.
So how far does the plan go? Are you 3, 5, 10?
5 years.
5 years.
We aim to, you know, I'm not in this to be a millionaire. I'm in this because we've got a brilliant business model that people need to see, and I love it.
Yeah.
So for us, I think 3 a year, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Take it nice and steady,
brilliant.
And got to make sure that each one is as good as this. You know, we're not going to dilute it. It's got to be the right people.
That's a good thing we franchise, isn't it? It does keep that standard high, as opposed to just traditional licensing.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah,
so I'm excited.
Brilliant, that's good. Yeah. So for everybody that's listening and or watching, depending on how they tune into this, where can they find out more about yourself and Believe and Achieve?
So we are on Facebook and Instagram, and then we've got website, believeachieveuk.com.
Yeah.
That's it.
Really, yeah. Brilliant. Claire, that's been fantastic. I could sit here and speak to you for another hour. It's been so fascinating to talk about this
Thank you.
So, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.